All right, so in the next 20 minutes, we are going to talk, we're going to present you what we want to do. So what we want to do is simple. We want to map buildings indoors. And we're going to present to you a tool that we have developed in order to do that. Because we think today there isn't a good tool available, and that's partly the reason why there are not so many indoor maps. There is also the URL to the tool if you want to check it out in between. Let me give you a short outline for the talk. So we're going to start with our vision. Why do we want to have indoor maps? Why develop the tool? What are possible applications for indoor maps? We want to go a little bit into the status quo. Where are we today? How many maps are there? What about the data model that is used, that has emerged as a consensus, as we see it? What are the tools? Why were they not successful in our estimate? Then we present our tool. What are the key features? Why we think that it addresses the issues the other tools didn't address so far? And give a little outlook into what are specific challenges regarding indoor tagging or indoor maps in general. What are the next specific steps we're going to take? And then the most important thing, how you can contribute. Because at the end, it's you who will do the mapping, and hopefully we can contribute a good tool to do so. So we just picked, for example, four areas of typical applications. Indoor navigation, everybody knows a navigation system outdoors. But indoors, they're still rare. You could do simulations, emergency planning on maps. You can do advertising, interesting for businesses if they have maps. And of course, for maintenance work, that's also attractive. If the light bulb isn't working properly, and then the facility manager can just use the map to say, hey, the light bulb isn't working, please repair. So OSM, that's an incredible success story if you look at it. Today there are over 5 million registered users, and these three pictures tell the story how successful it was. The entire world was mapped within a short time, I would say. And what we want to do, we want to repeat the story indoors, because buildings are the black spots on the map today, and we think mapping only happens with good tools, so that's why we developed a tool. Apple Maps and Google Maps, of course, they already entered the indoor space, but they're not open, so they don't provide you the data. They just give you services, and they have their own reasons, and they're proprietary, commercial, and we wanna have it open and accessible for everyone. That's our vision. So if we look at where we are today, you see there is a map of the level tech that's kind of the tech you use, an attribute to see if something is indoors. There's happened a little, but not so much in the broad community. So mostly there were initiatives by SNCF, for instance. They said we map a bunch of train stations, and most of the indoor maps that are today available are done by these private initiatives, and we want to really broaden that so that everybody can take part in mapping indoors. And Adrien is going to tell you a little bit about the data model and the consensus. Ah, you have the microphone.
So can you hear me correctly? Yeah. So how many of us are aware of the simple indoor tagging scheme? So yeah, quite some of you. So the idea was to make something simple for tagging indoors. So this tagging scheme was already existing in the OpenStreetMap community, so we didn't invent this. And it has mainly two tags. It has a level tag, which allows to say this feature belongs to this level in a building. So you just put a value like 0, 1, 2, and say, OK, this is on this floor. And then the second tag is the indoor tag, to allow to say what kind of feature you are describing. Is it a room? Is it an area, corridor, and so on? So there are two main tags. There are some other for sure, but the two mains are this one. So if I want to describe, for example, a bakery on level one, I say indoor equals room, shop equals bakery, and level equals one, and that's all. It's quite simple. And with this scheme, we can do mostly everything. So there was already existing tools for doing indoor mapping, which are mainly ID and JOSM. JOSM is a great tool. It's widely used in the community, but it's a general tool. I mean, you can add extension, you can add plugin to manage, for example, the floor plan. If you have emergency map, architect map of a building, you can add it on JOSM and draw over to add the features, but it's a plugin. You can have a level filtering. It was added not so long ago, so you can do basic level filtering, but it's not only all the cases. And you have also support for the simple indoor tagging preset, so it's not that bad. But JOSM is a great tool, but it's not meant for everyone. I mean, you have to take some time to learn how to use JOSM. You can't just take 2 minutes and add something. It's quite difficult when we start. And also, it's not web-based, so it makes complicated for some people in some condition to access it, so yeah. And we have also ID, which is also another great tool, but it doesn't have the possibility to add a floor plan in the background. You can't load emergency map of a building and start adding features. You don't have also the possibility to filter data level by level, so if you are editing indoors, you are editing all level at once. It's not very convenient, and you don't have support for the simple indoor tagging preset, which makes things very difficult. So there was also another attempt to make indoor mapping more popular in the community. For example, I started a fork of ID, which was called ID Indoor, which added some basic level filtering, so you can only edit one level at a time. And also adding the simple indoor tagging preset, so you can make sense of the data you are looking at. But it was quite limited, and it was quite hard to follow the track of the new features in the ID, the main ID version, so it was quite not maintained for a long time. And also, you have other tools which are mainly viewers, so you can view the data but can't edit, like OpenLevelUp and OpenStationMap. So they are interesting, but they are not meant for editing. They are just here for seeing the data. So it's not a complete tool chain. So that's why we started creating this this indoor editor. And I will present you the main features which are interesting. And the first one is the floor plan import. So you can load images of emergency map, architect map, and put it on the map. So that way you can set the image being at this position on this building. And you can, for each of them, saying, OK, this plan is for level 2. So that way you have information of location and also the vertical position. So you can distort image, scale, and so on. So it's quite easy to use. You have also indoor specific feature presets, so that way you make sense of the data you have in front of you. It's also easy to add new feature. So mainly, it's the JOSM preset with a new feature type, so you have possibility to add things like building structure, like room, areas, walls, and so on. And also, in some cases, the furniture, if it's available on your data. And also, you can see for a single feature, both its usage and its structure. If you take an example, the bakery I was presenting just before is at the time a room and also a bakery. So it has a function being a shop and a structure being a room. So that way, in the editor, you have clear preset. It is both a room and a shop. So it's easy to edit. And last thing is that you have a clear hierarchy in editing. You don't edit everything at once. You have, for start, a street mode view. So you have access to the data, but you just browse around. So it's mostly like what viewer do. You can just browse around the map, so it's interesting. You can see the data level by level. And then you go to the editing mode. You can edit the metadata of a single building, saying this one has three levels, for example. And you can then edit one level at a time. So you can draw the floor contour and then add features in this floor. So it's quite easy. You only have what you want to see on the map.
Okay, so we made it web-based because so what you see here is the change sets done mostly by ID editor, then followed by JOSM. Not surprising, but we think web-based is the better way to go. So our hypothesis is that it's easier because JOSM you have to install on your computer and you have to be a little bit more of an expert. That's our take on it. And so we said it has to be web-based and similar in usage, like ideas. So that was our take from these statistics. There are some challenges specific to indoor mapping you don't have when you map outdoors. And that is if you, most of the buildings are private. That means you have restricted access. You cannot go into any building and just do the mapping. If you go to an airport and do that, people will look strangely at you, probably. It's hard to get the floor plans because in many countries, like in Germany, there is copyright on them. So you need the permission of the owner or the architect in order to do something with them. So you need the consent. But if you get them, it's really useful because then you can use them as a blueprint and draw on it. Technically, if you go in buildings, you lose GPS signal. So outdoors, you can use GPS to record traces, but indoors, you can't. That's a little bit harder. And in general, it's an editor with a two-dimensional view, but you have to map three-dimensionally. So that's a little bit, requires a little bit more of imagination, I would say.
So the next step around this topic are mainly involving the community. I mean, we are using the simple indoor tagging, which is doing the job in most of the time. We have some corner cases which already have been discussed during other projects, so they are still there, so we can still improve this tagging. We can also offer more documentation because the indoor tagging in general is not that simple. So if we want to bring more people in, we need to document things, to translate the documentation. So working on this seems important to us. We have also to make indoor data sources easier to access because of the legal restriction you are talking about. So we have to find ways to maybe involve building operators in order to make them liberate the plans for mapping. So we have to imagine some solution around this to make the raw data we need to put indoor data in OSM accessible. And then the editor can also offer new features because it's still a first version, so we can still add more features. So maybe we can add a 3D preview of what you are doing when editing, so you can see the data in three dimensions, so maybe it's more intuitive. We can also think of showing indoor geolocated images, like the one from Mapillary or OpenStreetCam. So we have to find a way, maybe, to say this image is indoor and at this level. So maybe we have to work with image provider to do this. And also maybe think of tools for semi-automated mapping. We have seen in the past some initiative, like the Google one, with this device where you can move around and have the whole building mapped with a LiDAR sensor. So maybe we can think of this kind of solution and how we can integrate this in the OpenStreetMap ecosystem. So there are still things to do around this. So if you are interested and want to participate in this effort, there are many ways you can contribute. So as a mapper, most of you can start create indoor data. So if you have a building, a shopping mall, train station, whatever, you can go on and start creating the data. It will be easier with the editor. You can also talk about indoor mapping with your local community, so that way it will interest more people. We can also think of reporting bugs or features, because you are the users of the editor, so you are the people using it regularly. So having your feedback on how you feel about this editor is always useful. And we should also continue promoting the indoor mapping, so we are not still at full capacity on OpenStreetMap on this topic, so we need to still continue doing presentation, doing talks about it, and then also help local groups launch Mapathon and discuss with building operators, so give them the keys and documentation to do so properly. As a developer, you can for sure help by contributing, adding new features or fix existing bugs. So you have links to the repository on GitLab and GitHub. And then if you are interested in translating the tool in order to bring it to more people worldwide, you can participate on TransFX and add your language in the editor, so it's always useful. For now, it's only available in English and French, so that would be interesting to make it available in more languages. And so don't hesitate to try it, and you can go to this address, and then maybe help us to make it even better.
We have ample time for questions. Over there. Thank you.
Hi, thanks for the talk. You mentioned that indoor navigation is difficult without GPS or with bad GPS reception. Is there any sort of provision for using Wi-Fi signals like the competitors are doing for indoor navigation? So could you track them, map them into OpenStreetMap? And if not, is there like, do you know of any service that adds that? Or do you think that's a good idea or not?
Well, in general, for indoor navigation, you can use Wi-Fi. I don't know of any open source indoor navigation libraries available?
I think there are still some projects, but nothing really directly usable. I'm not aware of it, so.
And you can't tag it in OSM, can you?
We can tag the presence of a Wi-Fi spot and say it is here.
Sure, but you would need SSIDs of all Wi-Fis in the vicinity. Do you want to add something?
Just regarding the Wi-Fi's, there are two projects which map the locations of Wi-Fi hotspots to the coordinates. One of them is, what's it called, the Open WLAN map, but it's unfortunately the data sets are under the GPL of V2, which is not very commercially useful, basically. And the other one is the Mozilla's location service, which also does that, but I'm not sure how much alive it is. Can I just, since I've got the mic already, and I wanted to have a note on the last slide. You mentioned TransFX for translations. So TransFX is a proprietary service. Would you consider to change into either PoEdit or WebLate? I would suggest WebLate because it allows you to synchronize the translations with Git. So the translations get committed automatically by the translators without them having to do conscious effort. So just it's free software and it's better.
Yeah, and for sure it's we use the TransFX because it allows to manage translation for open source repository for free. For free, no money, I mean. But if you want to switch to another solution, I mean, we are open to it and we just need the some people giving effort to make this possible. So if you're interested to make the switch from one to another, you can help us and we'll do the switch for sure.
Thank you.
Much. Any further questions? Okay, let me just go over to the mic.
Hi. We are working in a campus map because I work in a university in Brazil. And one of the features that is very difficult and we are now considering to upload our data, we have our buildings already mapped. But one of the difficult things is about the routing indoor. Like in a complex building, if you have a lot of paths and elevators and stairs. So are you thinking about tags and the structures to make routes, indoor routes? In the
you want to answer? Sure. I mean, indoor routing is very important if you want to build a navigation system. And we have tried to make it simple to edit the routing graphs so where people can walk. Also, well, three dimensions, yeah. That's the application point of view, right? You would like to have it connected, but.
And we have an example of people already doing indoor routing. So it's possible, even if we are mapping in two dimensions, to have this 3D dimension routing. So we just have to adapt a bit the software in order to make sense of the elevators, of the stairs, and so on. But it's technically feasible. It's something which has been done and can be for sure done in better at a better scale in the future. So.
Yeah, I saw a question over there.
Yeah, so have you thought about doing data validation? Because if you have, for mapping, when you want to do rendering, it's you don't really need so much a good quality, but if you want to do the routing, you need a lot better data. So. I think an editor could be really good to do data validation on this. Have you thought about it?
Well, for now, we just took the perspective of what other editors do. So it's just you can edit the data and there is no validation. It's classical. It's what every editor do. But the, what is interesting with this editor is that you have tools to do also validation. For example, we mapped like a few years ago university campus with some of my friends, and we didn't saw that there was a door which was like 19 meters large because it was a problem in the units used. With the editor, I directly saw that the door was too large, and so I can fix it. So even if it's not already integrated, there are some small tools for validation, and in the future we want to add more tools for validation like Josem do, or like ID is starting to do. So it's something we want to have in our roadmap.
Okay, thanks.
Any other? Oh. There.
Thank you for a great effort doing this editor. And I have a question. Do you consider any connection point with other editors? Because when it's becoming that you edit some features in one editor, it could be complete mess in another. So maybe did you have a discussion or observation how it could be in the future, suggest that this part of area you better look in the editor, not ID, but for example, indoor mapping because it's levels and so on. And second question, similar, did you consider connection points in the OpenStreetMap rendering itself when it also can be very cluttered, when it's lots of layers on top of each other?
Yeah, in fact, there was already some effort in this to do this because at some point I did this small fork of ID, but I wasn't wanting to develop a full editor. I was thinking, okay, we can maybe improve existing editors. It was not the priority of the other editors to integrate the indoor data and do proper rendering. So, because there are many things to do on other editors, so I understand that it's not on the roadmap and doesn't make sense to develop this. And well, so there was some improvements on the existing tool, for example, Josem, which integrates the level filtering for now. We hope there is this kind also of support in ID. It's not yet implemented. And there was also effort to push forward on the main rendering of OpenStreetMap. But also, the issue was closed like yesterday, and we don't want the people maintaining this actually are not that much interested in the issue. So maybe it's something we need to push forward to say, okay, this is coming, the indoor data will arrive. We need to adapt the whole ecosystem to make it consistent, to make it properly rendered everywhere. So I think we still need as a community to do some work on this. And yeah, there was effort to do this in the past, but it's not yet done, so we need to continue pushing this forward.
Thank you. We got to close here, so give a final round of applause to our presenters.